Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast, the Superfan draft experts get into the mock draft game.
Ready to screw up your guys' draft boards here in a minute.
I'm also kind of excited about destroying some people's draft boards. Don't at me.
Oh boy, I can only imagine. Here we go. Listen.
Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, listener. Hello, world. Here we are, the third week of our draft shows, and tonight we're going to make that bold step into the world of mock drafts. I've got with me tonight, again, our Saints fan, Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Neil. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Ready to screw up your guys' draft boards here in a minute. So this will be fun.
And we've also got Rob, our Bills fan. He's just made himself a drink. He didn't offer Chris and I a drink, but there we go. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening. I'm looking forward to this. I'm also kind of excited about destroying some people's draft boards. Don't at me, by the way. Raring to go.
Yeah, we're going to try and be as objective as we can, and we're not going to try and sabotage our rival team's draft here, are we, guys? No, we're not. Right, let's go straight into it then, because there's not really been a lot of news this week, either in the NFL or in the world of draft preparation. So we'll just go straight in with the first bit. And guys, I will keep a list here, and we're going to do it on the basis that Rob... You drew the easy straw, and you get the first pick. Then it'll be Chris, then it'll be myself, and we'll go that way through the first round, apart from a wee change just to make it fit around our own team's draft choices. So let's crack on. Cleveland Browns, number one overall pick. Rob, why don't you give us who they're going to pick here and where you think they're going to go with a second pick, so we get a picture of... The Cleveland Browns thinking there in terms of developing their squad going forward.
All right. Well, yeah, I think this is probably the easiest pick in the draft. Clearly, it's going to be Myles Garrett, the defensive end from Texas A&M. Going to be a fun fit in Greg Williams' new defense out there. Cleveland, just in general, has a really kind of fun team. And as far as what they can do, they have five of the first 65 picks. So they can kind of move up, move down to do what they want to do in the first couple of rounds. And they got the ammo to do it. I think that, they pick a little bit later at 12. I think there's a lot of really good talent, you know, in that area. I think for them, it'd be almost beneficial. Just kind of take the best available. They still have tons of needs, and then we're going to get into the second round. You know, I think that they can get out of the second round with having that defensive end. Maybe having a safety as well is a deep cornerback draft. I'm sure they'd love to find someone to play opposite Hayden. And, you know, and maybe a right tackle, which is, you know, maybe the weak link of what's maybe a really improved offensive line.
Okay, that's a good start. I don't think Emily would disagree with Myles Garrett going number one. That's got to be the pick. Move on, number two, San Francisco. Chris, where are they going to go?
I really struggled with this one between two picks, but I'm going to go with Jamal Adams, safety from LSU. I really, really want to put Reuben Foster here. I think it's a bigger need. But as we've discussed in the past, Foster's got a lot of concerns. Robert Klemko wrote a fantastic article on Monday Morning Quarterback talking about how he really struggled with the X's and O's at the combine before he was kicked out. So I'm not sure if Lynch is willing to take the chance at it. Lynch being a former safety, I think he's the best player on the board. So slap him in there next to Elam and see what happens.
And with a second pick, where did you see them going?
With a second round? Well, I know there's a lot of concern about quarterback. I really think they're going to make a push for Cousins next year. So I don't think they waste the resource. I could see if Alvin Kamara is still on the board, I could see them going running back early. Or, there's just so many holes on this team. I mean, you can go wide receiver, you can go corner. There's really just throw a dart at the board with San Francisco.
Okay. Just a question for both of you guys. In terms of the whole draft theory about taking best player available or take a player for a need position. For example, last year we saw Philadelphia and the Rams both trade up for a player of need, which was a quarterback position. Where do you guys see... it's always very easy to say, yeah, we take the best player available. But sometimes it's a bit more complicated than that. Sometimes you've got two players at the top of your board, and then you take the player that best fits you, or maybe you just... Maybe you have so many needs, you just take the best player. What sort of thinking do you have around those two concepts? Chris, first.
Well, I always think best player available trumps anything unless you need a quarterback. Quarterback's the only time I think you trade up, much like Los Angeles and Philadelphia did last year. Besides that, I mean, trading a ton of assets for, say, a wide receiver or running back, you don't tend to see good teams do it. You see teams like the Saints do it, and that's why they're always 7-9.
And do you also think that sometimes taking a lesser player for a stronger position of need is that the road to bad drafting?
I think so. Why miss out on a possible Pro Bowl replacement for an average starter? There's a lot of average players in free agency still in this stage. So I think just best player available.
Rob?
I literally agree with everything Chris just said. I think you have to follow your board. If I were a GM of a team, I would, and there's kind of, maybe tiebreaker to a position in need. But find the best fits for what you're going to do. Find the best players, to go on the field that are going to, to wear your jersey. The exception being, quarterback is kind of a different deal in that I feel every team needs to have at least a little bit of one. I'm not a big fan of trading up for, a player of similar talent. I mean, when the Bills traded up for Sammy Watkins, I wasn't amused at all. To say the least, I love that he's on my team now, but to give up the draft capital that they did, I thought was pretty silly. So as far as I'm concerned, stay true to your board. And if you're doing the right things and doing the good scouting, then, the benefits will follow.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. I agree with all of that. Number three, we've got the Chicago Bears. That's my pick now, and I'm going to give them Solomon Thomas, the defensive end out of Stanford. I think Chicago come into this draft looking at cornerback depth, looking at linebacker, and possibly even though they signed or they drafted Floyd last year. I quite like the fact of them looking for more pass rush, and I also think offensive tackle is probably a position of need. They seem to have a pretty good interior with Whitehair and Long, and was it Lang they got from Green Bay last year in the free agency period or just before the season started? Was it Josh Sitton?
Josh Sitton.
Yeah. So they've got a pretty strong interior, maybe some offensive tackle help. So give them Thomas to add to that defensive front. We pick number three, and wow, with this cornerback depth, you can imagine they're going to maybe pick up a cornerback, possibly like a Fabian Moreau if he hadn't torn his pectoral muscle in the last week or so. But there's a whole host of cornerbacks coming up in this draft, so this is a good year to get one. Early second round, that may be perfect. Over to you then, Rob. Jacksonville Jaguars, number four.
All right, so I got the Jaguars. They got a new coach, Doug Marrone, who was a coach in Buffalo for a little bit. His offense has definitely tended to skew towards the running game. And I feel like this is a spot where the board and need, kind of match up really well. And I know that you, Neil, kind of feel the same way because I've seen your mock draft on our WordPress website. But I like it as well. Leonard Fournette, plug him into that spot, give them a workhorse, give them someone who can play well and kind of take a little bit of pressure off of Blake Bortles. I think that would be a real fun match. So I got him going at four. And looking at them kind of going in the second round, there's a couple different ways that they can go. Offensive tackle, I think maybe a right tackle. Could Cam Robinson from Alabama be a fit, or is he already gone? Guard, I think Feeney from Indiana would be a nice little fit. Or do they kind of go more along the lines of depth along, kind of the edge rushers? Fowler didn't have a great year last year. But I kind of like the one I like the most is probably Feeney going to Jacksonville in the second round.
Okay, so a bit of help for Blake Bortles there. Okay, number five, Chris, we've got the Tennessee Titans. And when you're doing this pick, remember they also have the, I think it's the 18th selection coming up later in the first round. But on you go.
They did, and here's at number five. This might be the first mini shakeup that we have. Uh-oh. Everywhere you read has them projected taking a corner or Malik Hooker. Both of them are huge needs. Dick LeBeau has never, with the exception, I think, of Troy Polamalu, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's never really valued the secondary like that. They picked up Jonathan Cyprian. So I'm going to go Reuben Foster. Ooh. I know they have Avery Williams. Williamson, I'm sorry, and they have Wesley Woodward, but both only have a year left on their contract. Both can be suspect in pass coverage. And this just reminds me a lot of when they took Lawrence Timmons in Pittsburgh. And doesn't Foster just seems like a Pittsburgh guy? Like he would be somebody blitzing off the middle, in a Pittsburgh defense. So I'm going to go with Reuben Foster, and we will try to address one of these positions later at 18. The second round, I don't think they go until secondary till the second round, frankly, but yeah, I'm going to take Reuben Foster off the board.
Wow. The article that was in the MMQB this week, which was, let's just say less than favorable towards Reuben Foster, that hasn't thrown you off.
It threw me off for a couple of teams, but he wouldn't have to start right away in Tennessee. Williamson and Woodward would be able to hold that down, let him work in that defense, let him learn the X's and O's, which is laid out as he had a problem with, and then you can have a great player there.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of just pure ability, I mean, being the fifth pick is a bit the right spot, isn't it? I mean, he is that talented. He just happens to play a position which maybe isn't as fashionable as many of the other positions.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, that's number five. The first little spanner in the work for you there, Rob. But I'll move on to the Jets at number six. And I have to say, I really wanted Fournette to fall in this draft to number six for the Jets. And it's, I guess, the question I would have before I make my pick, guys, is this the first spot that we could be thinking quarterback?
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, I know they just signed McCown, so they need a replacement.
Yeah, and McCown is that sort of transition quarterback, isn't he? He can come in and start for the best part of a season and while they bring a young guy in. However, I'm not going to be doing that with my pick in number six for the Jets. I think they have bigger needs at this point in time with so many quality players on the bench. And you've thrown me there, Chris, because I thought Hooker would be off the board. And for me, it's a question of, do I take Hooker or do I take Lattimore? And I think I'm going to take Marshawn Lattimore, the cornerback from Ohio State, there at number six, and look to maybe take a safety at the top of the second round, or even look at that quarterback position at the top of the second round. Yep, so I'm going to go with that. Lattimore, what do you think?
I like it, and actually he was my second pick for Tennessee. My issue with Hooker, and I understand both him and Lattimore really only have a year on the resume, but not being able to have any kind of workout with Hooker going into the draft, not knowing, because I mean, if this kid ran a 4.6 like Tease Tabor did, would we even be entertaining the thought that he's a top 10 player? So there's just too many unknowns with him for me to take him this high. I could see him slipping a little bit. I still don't think he falls out of top 10, but we're seeing in our draft, he's going to slip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with you. How often do you sort of say, well, never take a one-year wonder? It's just not a great sample size. But anyway, that's the Jets then, going for Marshawn Lattimore. Rob, you're up. The LA Chargers And wow, there's a lot of good talent on the board for you here.
There is, there is. LA is kind of a fun team as far as you know what they could do at this spot. I mean, if their coaches and their GM really like Mitchell Trubisky, this is almost be like a weird, like sneaky spot for him. I'm not going to take him now. The guy I'm going to take, I mean, Hooker's on the board. They did just lose Eric Weddle. They lost him last year to free agency. They still have Julio Legay. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's going to start. He was kind of a reserve guy last year. So I feel like maybe they pair, you know, if they fall like it were now, you know, take the shot on Hooker. LA almost feels like a team, the Chargers, that could sneakily take a tackle typically, but there's just none to me that warrant this early in the draft. So as far as I'm concerned, just go best player available and let's take Malik Hooker and let's see what happens. Okay. Later in the draft with them, I could see them if the right quarterback fell for them going in the second round because, you know, Rivers is, what is he, 35, 36 years old. You know, it's something you got to think about. Offensive tackle, I think, is another, you know, definite need for them. And also maybe a little bit of an edge rusher since they did, you know, kind of play Bosa on the line a little bit more than I thought last year. So, but yeah, first round, let's go with Malik Hooker.
Okay, nice pick there. And up number eight, Chris, you got the Carolina Panthers. Leonard Fournette's off the board already. Are they panicking in Carolina?
No, because I've been pretty vocal. I don't think Fournette fits their offense. I really struggled with this one. I really, really struggled with this one. And the reason for that is I want to give them Bowles. I want to give them Garrett Bowles. They need offensive line help. They need to protect Cam Newton. But I'm going to go Dalvin Cook, Florida State. Yeah. I think he fits that offense perfectly. And they don't see a left tackle worth it. And they've, you know, maybe they fix it this year, but they've not been putting a value on that position. So I'm going to go Cook, and they're going to try to go back to that two-headed monster they had with a young Stewart and D'Angelo Williams.
What I'm hearing from you, perhaps, Chris, is that maybe when it comes to the real draft, Carolina might be looking to trade down here.
I think so. But, I mean, I think you could say that about over half the teams in here. This draft has a lot of depth to it, but the more we get into this, I'm realizing there's not as many first-rounders as we thought. So I see a lot of teams trying to trade back.
You know, that's a great point, Chris. I was thinking the same when I was doing some work on this afternoon. There's like maybe four or five or six really, really good players in this draft, and then there's about 18 or 19, maybe even more, maybe 25 up to players all sort of tier or so below that cannot, they're all going to sort of have to find their way in amongst these mid round picks here in the, you know, in the first round. How many first round picks do you have then, do you think, altogether? First round players.
I think my last count, I had about 17.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm putting quarterbacks in the first round. It's really hard to have a first round without a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of them are really worth a first round pick.
But then would you say
first round grade,
in terms of second round talent, there's probably about 45 players?
Oh, man. And the second round? This year's second round is better than 2013's first round.
You could possibly say the same for this year's third round, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Carolina's pick there for the first round. Where do you see Carolina going? Is it going to be for an offensive lineman in the second with our second pick?
It's either going to be that or they're going to go edge rusher. I think they're going to get somebody to work underneath Julius Peppers. So it's going to be that, or they could even go corner. There's going to be a lot of talented corners still available. This team has a lot of needs, which is surprising because they were, you know, a Super Bowl team 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Okay, right. We've got Carolina in the books there. I can almost hear eyebrows raising over there in Sarasota with that pick of Dalvin Cook, Rob. But We're going to go to the Bengals now at number 9. And for the Bengals, I can see their biggest needs being offensive line, losing Whitworth, losing Kevin Zeitler. But I don't see an offensive lineman. I don't see offensive lineman value here at the 9th pick. They also need help on the defensive line. And I would also say wide receiver is a big need for them too. Somebody to give them a bit of speed to free that side of the field up for the great AJ Green. I'm going to go here with John Ross, wide receiver, Washington. I like his speed. Yeah, he may be a doubt in terms of his ability to play for an entire season and maybe for a number of seasons. But I like that speed so much, and I can see that being terrific for the quarterback Dalton there, to have AJ Green and then Eifert at the tight end and Ross going right down those deep patterns. So yeah, give me John Ross. Second round, that's maybe where they start looking for offensive linemen. And yeah, I think Cam Robinson would be a great lineman for them there, maybe coming in playing at guard. And yeah, will Forrest Lamp fall that far? Probably not. But certainly, offensive line in the second round, John Ross in the first round. Number 10, the 10th pick, Bills. Robert, of course, we're going to give that pick to you, being our very own Doug Whaley, as you are. So what have you got at number 10 for Buffalo?
All right, nobody circles mediocre draft picks like the Buffalo Bills. Looking at where we're at with the board right now, if I were running the Buffalo Bills, I think you could make a case that cornerback is definitely a position in need. And there's some really good cornerbacks out there for sure. But I think they need to either hit up an offensive weapon of some sort or possibly a defensive lineman. For me, I think I'm going Corey Davis, the wide receiver from Western Michigan. I like him right now more than Williams. Mike Williams, the wide receiver from Clemson, and not just because the Bills have drafted a Mike Williams high recently and he was a bust, but because I just think he fits. Rick Dennison is kind of a West Coast offense, is what he's kind of from. We'll see what he runs in Buffalo, but my guess is it's going to be similar to that. And, you know, Davis is just so smooth. I think he'd be a really good fit. Looking into the second round for Buffalo, I think you kind of have to look at safety. We'll see who, you know, and seeing who's available. It looks like with the defense that McDermott is going to run, that they're going to be using three safeties quite a bit. So even though they signed Mika Hyde, even though they signed Jordan Poyer, I wouldn't be shocked if they went out and got someone who could be a big hitter. So I think, you know, what I'd love to see, I don't think he'd be available. I'd love to see Buda Baker available in the second round for them. I don't think he'll be there. But I think someone like Justin Evans could be, and I think he might be a really good fit into kind of what they're doing defensively. If, you know, you look at what McDermott did prior in Carolina and Philadelphia as kind of the template.
I'm going to ask you this real quick. The with John Ross being off the board, did that affect your decision at all? Would you have gone No. John Ross over Davis? No. Okay.
No. I like Ross. I think, you know, we covered it last week, but my wide receiver, I like Corey Davis. He is a taller receiver, which is something the Bills need. And two, I just think, you know, he's really smooth in his routes. I think he'd be a better fit in that kind of West Coast offense that they're going to run. Ross is going to be, you know, someone who is definitely going to, you know, quote unquote, take the top off. And I think he's someone's going to be really talented. I just think that Corey Davis might be a little bit of a better fit for what the Bills are going to try to do.
Very good.
Okay. That's number 10 for the Bills. I was surprised you didn't go O.J. Howard there, Rob.
Oh, I thought about it. I love O.J. Howard. I think he's going to be the guy who they end up taking, but just with who is left, that's the guy that I personally like. So,
well, I wonder if O.J. Howard is going to be going off the board here at number 11, the New Orleans Saints. Chris, The floor is yours.
This is a hard one for me. Jonathan Allen's still on the board. But I think I'm going to go with what I said last week, and I'm going to go Hassan Reddick, linebacker from Temple. He's going to give them both the pass rusher they desperately need, opposite of Cameron Jordan, and I also believe he's athletic enough to jump in and play the strong side linebacker, allowing A.J. Klein and Mante Teo to take over the middle linebacker duties. Stephon Anthony, as much as I love the kid coming out of college, he's been a colossal bust. And I'm not saying we need to completely move past him, but we need to be able to start fielding three NFL linebackers. So I'm going to go with Reddick. It's hard. I mean, Allen's still here. I think maybe the hate's gotten too far. And there's also a lot of defensive ends available. But Reddick, to me, gives the best value, has the most upside. They still have a pick in 32. So we'll see if we go defensive end then. And, you know, Malcolm Butler's not a saint yet. So corner needs to be looked at as well here soon.
Okay, that's he's certainly a player who's rising up draft boards super, super fast. Number 12, we've got the Cleveland Browns. Rob spoke about earlier, took Myles Garrett with the first pick, and here they are sitting at number 12, and you think, well, is this the second spot where you start thinking quarterback? And, oh, yeah, it's really, I'm glad I'm not a Cleveland fan. It's really tough for me here. I would like them to take Mitch Trubisky at number 12, but I just think you're looking there and you've got Jonathan Allen on the board, you've got Howard on the board, you've got Derek Barnett on the board. Do you double up and go for a pair of edge rushers? We've already got some young edge guys there. I'm going to take, for me, the guy who is the best player available, and it has to be then Jonathan Allen. He's the seventh guy on my board. And I'll take Jonathan Allen, and that will give them a young defensive tackle. And, of course, to match up with a young defensive end and maybe a little bit of pressure on those AFC quarterbacks they're going to be facing every year. Looking ahead to the second round, got to be quarterback. Just got to be quarterback in the second round for them. So we'll move on then. Rob, Arizona at number 13. Who have you got?
Arizona's got, you know, kind of an interesting situation. I felt like they kind of underachieved a little bit. I feel like defense, they can improve unless there was a wide receiver who they felt like could be the future for what they're, you know, what they want to do. Or, they're kind of also a sneaky team for a quarterback, although their coach, Arians, tends to like guys who have, you know, big arms. For them, I actually am going to go with cornerback Quincy Wilson from Florida. They had a lot of trouble on the other side of Peterson last year. And I think that if you add someone like this, you know, that problem maybe goes away a little bit moving forward in the draft. You know, we'll see what happens. But Mahomes, I think, would be a fun fit for what they do. I don't think he's going to be available for when they pick him the second round. Other needs for them, you know, looking at is basically a little, you know, any of the guards. So Feeney, Lamp won't be there, I don't think, in the second, but Feeney could be for sure. You know, inside linebacker could be a need for them. You know, wide receiver, maybe they add someone like a Zay Jones or something like that, or a Zuzu or a Juju the kid from USC. But, you know, first round, I reached a little bit, but Quincy from Florida.
Okay. Well, if Sidney Jones had been healthy, would he have been the pick over Wilson?
I think so. I mean, I love Sidney Jones. I had him right neck and neck with Marshon Lattimore. So for me, that would have been at 13, you know, kind of not a steal, but, you know, definitely value. Obviously, he's hurt, so you have to weigh that in. I think that Quincy Wilson is a, you know, good player. And, you know, for Arizona, I just, you know, my thoughts to Arizona is just the second cornerback on that team. You know, they just getting killed all year long. So I feel like it's something that they need to stop. And, you know, you draft something like that, you could do it.
Okay. Well, then we move on to number 14 with the Colts, Indianapolis, Chris.
It'd actually be the Eagles, 14 to the Eagles.
Ah, it's 15 to the Colts, is it? Yeah. Okay, right, 14 to the Eagles. And what are they going to do there? They're looking for lots of help, no?
No, they are. They are. I think you have the Eagles, right?
Yep. You want me to do the Eagles then, since we had it in my original mistaken, terrible draft numbering there?
I'm not prepared for them.
Oh, well, we prepare for the Eagles twice a year, so I'm always ready for them. The Philadelphia Eagles, number 14 then, and they need help in the defensive backfield. Definitely need cornerback help. They also lost Benny Logan, of course, in free agency, and I think come the second or maybe even the third round, they could be looking at somebody like Dalvin Tomlinson as a big-bodied guy in the middle there. That may not come to the third round, though, because nose tackles don't generally go high. But, so, with the 14th selection, I'm going to give them another cornerback, Marlon Humphrey, cornerback from Alabama, big corner. Can play a physical game that the defensive coordinator likes there in Philadelphia. So, yeah, number 14, Marlon Humphrey, cornerback. On to number 15 with the Colts, I believe, Chris. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Yes, the team I'm prepared for, these guys. This is when I think you start to see the offensive linemen fall off the board. And I'm going to go with Garrett Bowles out of Utah. I think now you're finally getting value with him at 15. And they need to start doing something to protect Andrew Luck. I know they have need elsewhere. I really wanted to give him a running back. But with Cook and Fournette off the board, I don't see it there. I love McCaffrey, but he's not the style of running back they need. They need somebody who can eventually replace Frank Gore. Old age will finally catch up with him someday, but I'm going to go Bowles. We'll go him 15.
Okay. And up next, the Baltimore Ravens at 16. And Rob, what do we see there for the Baltimore Ravens?
Baltimore Ravens love to, they love best player available. Ozzie Newsome, that's kind of his deal. They could go a couple different ways, you know, edge rusher, if someone was available that they liked, you know, center, wide receiver, which is where I'm going to go. I actually have them taking Mike Williams, the wide receiver out of Clemson. I think he'd be a good fit for what they do. You know, he doesn't get the separation that maybe you'd like out of a speedster, obviously, but, you know, winning contested balls, he does it. So, looking forward into the second round with them, you know, maybe getting in on, you know, whatever offensive line help is still available. Maybe, you know, an edge rusher, you know, maybe a name like, let's see. They could get, you know, just depending on who falls, could McKinley fall to them in the second round? Probably not, but, you know, there'd be someone they'd have an eye on. Could they go, you know, more defensive line with like Brantley, you know, if he was there in the second round, kind of interesting with them for the second round, but I think, you know, they like to go best player available. I think at this point, Mike Williams is, you know, that.
Okay. And just to say, guys, that's what, 16 picks we've had? And we've got three wide receivers off the board already. Who would have thought that 6 months ago?
That's going to kill my Tennessee draft here.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, number 17, Washington Redskins. And Washington's needs, of course, are quarterback, because I think, Chris, you mentioned it earlier, sometime probably next year then, Kirk's going to walk as a free agent and walk all the way to San Francisco. Running back, we could always do an upgrade at running back, but the two best running backs are off the board. McCaffrey's there. I would hate it if we took a running back in the first round, to be honest. Defensive line, we need massive help to stop the run. But again, they might not tackle that in the first round. And inside linebacker, well, Reddick's gone, who I quite liked. And also, of course, Foster is gone. So it's going to leave me with a bit of a problem here. Do I take O.J. Howard, who is the top guy on my board at the moment? No, I think we're fine at tight end. So I would say give me Forrest Lamp, who can come in and play left guard for Washington. Not a very exciting pick, but I think he's the sort of guy who comes in and he starts for the next 10 or 12 years. Second round, start looking at quarterback and defensive line. On to number 18 then. And it's the Tennessee Titans up again, and surely a wide receiver for you there, Chris.
No, I think we're going to have to look away from wide receiver. And you know, it's getting to the point now to where, do I take the players that I picked for Tennessee, or do I take the players that I feel like should be taken already? Because Derek Barnett and Taco Charlton both could help. You know, this is a team that's going to have to replace Brian Arakpo eventually. But I'm going to go with O.J. Howard. I'm going to give Mariota a little bit more help. Falling to 18 is just asinine at this point. So we're going to take that stud tight end and call it a day. Second round, we really have to start looking at the secondary. So whether it be safety, whether it be corner, Williams out of Utah is a nice rangy safety that should be available. This might be a time where you start looking at the Fabian Monroes. I don't think Tre'Davious White will fall, but if so, I think that's something that they'll be ecstatic about. And then you have Conley from Ohio State. I still think he goes in the first round, but I know a lot of mocks have him second round. So I think that's where they end up going.
Yeah, I think that's probably quite right. Right up to number 19 in the first round, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Rob, what do you think?
Tampa Bay. I think, looking at just kind of how the board is spelled, obviously, not going to go Trubisky. The guy I kind of just look at the board, I think McCaffrey would be kind of a fun fit. So, you know what? I'm taking him here. I'm taking McCaffrey, which I just think he'd be a little bit of a fun fit for kind of, you know, what they're going to do. They're going to be passing a little bit more. They had good luck, or I shouldn't say good luck. They did well with, you know, players like Sims, who's still there, and also Jaquez Rogers. I think McCaffrey is an upgrade from both those guys. And you don't have, you know, Mighty Hamster there signed. So let's go with him. And then, you know, kind of moving forward in the second round, I think safety would be a position they could look at. You know, possibly cornerback as well, but they play a cover defense, so I feel like cornerback you can go, you know, third round and find somebody good there as well, just given how deep that the cornerbacks are this year. But let's go McCaffrey now. Yeah.
Okay, pick number 20, we've got the Denver Broncos. Chris, what do you make of the Denver Broncos sitting there with the multiple needs, I guess?
I hate you, Rob. I really do. That was such a great... I had that locked in for McCaffrey. That was a done deal. Now I'm just shaking my head.
It's a fun fit, though. Him and Tampa is a fun fit.
Not as a Saints fan, it's not.
Well, fair enough.
You don't see me giving him to New England. I ain't doing you like that.
Oh, well, let's be honest. The Buffalo Bills are not contending with New England.
No, I mean, I reached out to my friend in Denver, and McCaffrey was their top pick. And then the general consensus was, for the love of God, any offensive lineman that's available. So I'm going to go with, that's a tough one. I think Ramchek is the better lineman, but I'm going to go with Cam Robinson for his ability to play left tackle.
Ooh.
Hmm. His inability to play left tackle, or his ability to play left tackle?
It's, man, yeah. I just don't see Ramczyk having a chance at it. Robinson might get lucky. That's the best we got at this point. Offensive linemen, it's such a weak class this year, and there's just not a lot of depth. It's a tough thing to need for them.
Okay. And do you think going forward into the second round, Denver are going to be looking for more offensive line help?
I think so. You know, they did lose DeMarcus Ware. I know Shane Ray steps into that position, but I could also see a Tack McKinley in the second round, because I do think he falls as a depth guy when he comes back from injury. And, you know, also we'll see if a Dan Feeney is still available or a Tyler Moton. I mean, I know Denver just signed Okun, correct? Oh no, that was L.A. Who does Denver have as a left tackle? I don't know. They lost him. So it's definitely. I mean, look at Tyler Moton. Look at somebody else who can jump in and play right tackle or guard as well.
That definitely needing help in the trenches there, for sure. There down in or up in Denver, down in Denver, somewhere in Denver. Right, let's move on to the Detroit Lions. And Rob, you're hoping that Tack McKinley might fall into the second round for you, with your Tampa Bay GM hat on. I'm sorry to let you down. Tack McKinley is going to Detroit. They desperately need some pass rush boost, just some energy and some buzz on that offensive line, a bit of pace, a bit of speed. We talked about McKinley's speed last week. I've got Tack McKinley, outside linebacker, UCLA, going to Detroit at number 21. And when it comes to the second round, I can see them just going even harder on defense, secondary help in this deep secondary draft. Yeah, just more defense for Detroit. On to number 22. Unless you guys have something to say about Detroit's pick.
I was just going to say, I think you only did that because I just said Tack McKinley fell. I'm convinced that you had Barnett or Taco Charlton ahead of him, but then heard what I said and went McKinley.
I like Barnett, and he's the highest guy left on my board, but I took McKinley because Washington played Detroit last year, and Detroit were a pretty solid outfit, you know, pretty strong in most areas, some really good players in some positions, but what you noticed with them was in that front seven, they lacked mobility in that defensive front seven, and I just don't like Barnett in terms of his speed. I think he's quite slow, and McKinley has that speed, and I think they need to add speed to that team. So that's why I took McKinley over Barnett. But that leaves Barnett to any team coming up next. And is that going to be the Miami Dolphins at number 22, Rob?
You know what? No, it's not. Because I'm giving him Taco Charlton. I just think the Taco, I like Taco maybe a little bit better than Barnett. So I'm going to put him there, you know, and they could, you know, Miami, I think defensive line, basically anywhere along the defensive line, you could find a fit, whether it's him, Harris, or, you know, whoever, you know, in the first round, second round, I think that, you know, they're in a position. I don't think Miami has a ton of holes. So I think they would kind of go best position available, you know, whoever fell to them. Maybe it'd be a cornerback. I think a cornerback would be kind of a fun fit for Miami this year. But first round, I'm giving them Taco. I think it'd be a good fit.
Yep. Good pick. And number 23, Chris, we have the New York Giants. And where are they going?
They're going Derek Barnett. I understand they have a lot of money tied up into the two defensive ends, but this is a team that really values that position. And if you can get Derek Barnett to rotate with Vernon and with JPP, that's the kind of depth they had when they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. This is, for them, I think they're ecstatic. They're running to the podium to make that pick. Far as second round goes, I mean, again, we keep saying these teams need to look for offensive linemen. Unfortunately, I just don't think they'll be available, right? but this is going to be – this is a team that I think goes and takes the best tight end available. And that might be an Evan Engram that – you know, we have Njoku still available from Miami. So one of these guys – some of these guys are going to slip and I think the Giants run to it.
Yeah, I wonder if the Giants maybe look at somebody like Antonio Garcia as a young tackle to develop for that left side.
I think I think second round would be overdrafting him, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
and they might have to do that. I mean, I know he just said you don't do that, but they're desperate.
This, but pick 55. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's not too bad maybe for him, but yeah. Okay, let's move on, guys. Keep it running. At number 24, we've got the Oakland Raiders, possibly soon to be the Vegas Raiders, and they might be a team looking at a tight end. So, yeah, I think tight end and running back are the two biggest needs. Running back, McCaffrey's gone, Cook's gone, Fournette's gone. That would leave Joe Mixon, but in the first round, I don't know. He'd be a good fit there for the Raiders. But I don't think they'd take him in the first round. I think they go David Njoku here, the tight end from Miami. It's certainly a position of need for the team, and it would give Derek Carr another target, but also another guy who can stand there and help block the guys who break Carr's legs. In the second round, they might look at running back. Will Kamara drop that far? And if Kamara doesn't drop, will Mixon still be there in the second round at that position, late 50s? I'm not sure he will be. But there's plenty of running back talent in this draft, so we'll leave that to the second round. So, yeah, give me David Njoku, tight end from Miami, there at number 24. Number 25, Rob, Houston Texans.
So earlier I said that Miles Garrett was the easiest pick. I was wrong, because this is it. Give him Mitchell Trubisky all day. Done for Houston. Done. Give him Mitchell, their quarterback of the future. You know, obviously
Oh, Mitch Trubisky, even though they're going to be taking Tony Romo at some point.
Are they?
And they've got Tom Savage.
Yeah, great. Tom Savage. That's fantastic. Are they going to get Romo?
Savage by nature.
He hasn't been released yet. The owner of the Cowboys is petty as hell. Is he going to release him if he knows that he's going to go to Houston and not get as much coverage in the Texas area? No, I don't think he's necessarily going to do that. So I'm going with Mitch Trubisky, because at this point, he's a super value and he plays the most important position in the NFL. Even if they have Romo, I still like it. I think that, I think that he could fit what they do. I think that he's value, this late in the draft. Kind of looking at the second round with Houston, cornerback would be a big need. Obviously, they lost Boye to Jacksonville. So if they can get a cornerback to fill that spot, that would be great. Offensive line, we've harped on that a lot with a lot of teams. So I don't think necessarily offensive line is going to fall as much as we think, just given what we've said. Maybe cornerback, but. We're at what, pick 25. I think Mitchell Trubisky is a steal at this point.
Well, maybe they could take Mitch Trubisky 25 and then take Davis Webb in the second round just in case.
Well, according to Davis Webb, he thinks he said that double digit teams have him as a top 32 pick. I don't believe that one bit, but we'll see.
No, me neither.
Well, I'm going to go with fantasy football rules here. And whether they get Romo or not, you have to draft his backup.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's got to really sting to be Houston right now. I mean, they're excited they got rid of that Osweiler contract, but let's not forget, Tony Romo has not played for 2 years.
Factually correct.
That's a tough spot for them. I think they'll be picking much higher next year, is my prediction.
Yeah, mine too. I think so. I think that's right. Also worth pointing out that Houston, didn't they also give Cleveland their second round pick as part of that contract sale?
2018, I think.
Is that the 2018? So they do have the second round pick this year.
2018, yeah.
Okay, so first quarterback off the board at pick number 25. Very brave of you there, Rob. Makes perfect sense.
I don't think it's that brave.
No, it makes perfect sense, which means it's got zero chance of happening in the NFL.
That's actually correct.
Okay, number 26, we've got the Seattle Seahawks and another team in desperate need of offensive line help.
Yeah, this has to be Ramchek, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
I didn't have him on my Seahawks board because I figured he'd be gone by now. So you just scrap it. You take the best player available at the biggest need they have. You take Ramchek, you put him on the right-hand side, and you know, hope they can find a running back to run behind him. As far as second round goes, you do it again. You look for offensive line. Their secondary is starting to show its depth. So I think you look that route. And somebody else I liked is Jared Davis for them. He's an injury concern, but he's an athletic, hard-hitting linebacker. They do have a hole next to right, and I'm sorry, the middle linebacker's name is escaping me, but he could be a great weak side linebacker for him as well.
Yep, that sounds fine for Seattle. We're on to number 27, and I have the Kansas City Chiefs. And is this the place where the second quarterback comes off the board? Do they take Deshaun Watson here, or perhaps do I leave Jabril Peppers for Chris in number 32? Yeah, probably do. Yeah, give me Deshaun Watson. I think Kansas City are going to take the opportunity to get Smith's long-term replacement, get him into the building. They need inside linebacker support. Derek Johnson coming back from that injury, of course. Will they go for maybe a guy like Jared Davis? Yeah, who knows? I think they probably leave that to later rounds. They could also do with a cornerback across from Marcus Peters. Peters is terrific, but who's the number two guy? Yeah, nobody really knows. So it's there's an ample opportunity to take somebody there and like Trey White, maybe even Garen Conley. So yeah, no, give me Deshaun Watson, the quarterback from Clemson. And that's the quarterback position hopefully nailed down for Kansas City for the next 10 years. On to number 28, the Dallas Cowboys. And is it pass rush help for them, Rob?
You know what? Let's see. No. I'm not going pass rush because I just think there's a lot of value at the cornerback position right now. Thought about a Harris for him, but I'm going to give them Conley, the cornerback from Ohio State. I think right now, this late in the draft, first round, good fit. You know, looking at them for the second round, you know, defensive end could definitely be a position need, or defensive tackle, that anywhere along the defensive line. Maybe right tackle. They've had a little bit of jungling over there. As well as tight end, at some point you gotta find, you know, your tight end of the future, and safety, just because, you know, they lost Barry Church to Jacksonville, so at some point you gotta find new safety. But you know, first round, you know, combination of value and need. I like my guy.
Okay. And in the second round, do you see them looking for edge help?
Yeah, I think definitely. And I think that it'll be there just given that, you know, the depth of the position. But, you know, first round, I like Conley maybe more than others do. So for me, him and Harris were kind of, you know, ipso facto, could be one or the other. I could definitely go Harris, Mizzou in the first round for them. But for me personally, I like Conley. So I'm going to put him there with them. Second round, you know, add a defensive end for sure. You know, maybe they're just somewhere along the defensive line. Is McDowell still available for them? You know, probably not, but, you know, maybe. Is Jordan Willis from Kansas State available? He could be. And maybe maybe not, bordering on probably not, but that would be a fun fit as well.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We're looking at pick number 29 here. The Green Bay Packers. And Chris, are they going Jabril Peppers?
They are not going Jabril Peppers. They'll keep their projects for the later rounds. This is a tough one because I'm stuck. Oh man, it's a three-way tie. I like Feeney at guard to replace Lang, what they lost in Lang and Sitton the past year. Alvin Kamara seems like an easy pick because they have a wide receiver playing running back. But I'm going to go TJ Watt, the linebacker from Wisconsin.
Wow.
This is somebody who, you know, Clay Matthews has really lost a step and struggled with injuries. They need somebody to sub in with him. And also, I think Watt can give them valuable minutes at middle linebacker as well, to start rotating in with Martinez and Ryan. He's a really talented kid. I think he fits that team perfectly. And from the interviews I've read and that I've seen him in, he seems to fit their personality. So TJ Watt at pick 29, second round. There's still going to be a lot of running backs available, which is one of the reasons why I'm choosing to go this route. It'll be late second round, so your Kareem Hunt, your Foreman from Texas, they'll be available, and I think they'll go that route.
Okay. What do you think about that, Rob? Happy with TJ Watt there?
Yeah, I think TJ Watt's a fun pick there. You know, I mean, he's a talented guy. And, I mean, I think that once we get into the latter stages of round one, it really doesn't differentiate itself that much from the guys that you're going to see in round two or even the early parts in round three. This draft is loaded. So, you know, it's more about fit and team's perception of value. And TJ Watt, because he comes from a lineage of, you know, his brother obviously is a super talented NFL player, you know, that's going to benefit him, I think, in the draft this year, at least to a very small degree.
We just lost Neil. He's done.
Yeah. I just tuned right out there when you said something about bloodlines.
I know you hate it, but I feel like it's kind of a thing.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine with Green Bay. He can go up there and rot in Green Bay. Pick number 30 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, in my original mock that I'd done for myself, I did have them taking Evan Engram here, the tight end. But I did have a chat with Greg about it, our Steelers fan, and I don't think they'll be looking there for a tight end. I still think Engram would be a great target for Roethlisberger, especially in away games where he's struggled so much passing the ball in the last couple of years. But what do you do then? Do you give them a linebacker or a cornerback? I'm going to give them the guy who is still who's top of my board as it currently stands. And that is Charles Harris, the defensive end, who I think will probably be an outside linebacker from Missouri. I think that's probably a good fit there. Another front seven guy that Pittsburgh can load. They lost Jarvis Jones, didn't they, this season, and also Timmons as well. So sticking another outside linebacker for them there, and I think that'll be a reasonable pick. Going into the second round, I think they'll continue to develop their secondary. Again, with this deep draft, and who knows? I can see somebody like an Eddie Jackson or even a Jabril Peppers, if he makes it that far down the draft boards, going to Pittsburgh. But certainly, Charles Harris, outside linebacker, Missouri in the first round. And it's over to you, Rob, with the Super Bowl runners-up, or the Super Bowl losers, whatever you want to call them, the chokers, the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, with the Atlanta Falcons, just looking at my board, I'm almost halfway tempted to pull the trigger on a player who's a little bit injured, but I'm not going to. Instead, I'm going to give them a safety who can kind of do it all, who would pair well with Keanu Neal. Let's give him Buda Baker at the end of the first round. I think it'd be kind of a fun fit. You know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, he's a solid player. I think a really good and a first round talent who can kind of do everything, play that single high. You know, obviously there's a lot of changes with Atlanta. Second round, I think they're looking for D-line help, you know, especially that defensive end, edge rusher position. I just didn't see anyone that could out-trump my guy at the beginning. So,
okay, free safety, Buda Baker. They, of course, took strong safety Keanu Neal, yeah, didn't they, last year? So, yeah, a nice 1-2 punch there. And that leaves us to the final pick of the first round. And in typical fashion, New England don't have it. It's going to the Saints. And, hey, Chris, your second pick in the first round, who's it going to be?
Well, I'd like to tell you, as a Saints fan, this is the only chance we have again at picking at 32. It's kind of like when you get to borrow your parents' nice car for the first time when you're a kid. This is a valuable pick because Patrick Mahomes is still on the board. And there are teams, much like Cleveland, who I think now might be desperate enough to trade up to get that fifth round option on the quarterback.
Yep, exactly.
So I'm going to be very interested to see what the Saints do with this. But with the spirit of them still having it, and I don't believe it goes for Malcolm Butler, I do believe the Saints keep this pick or trade it to somebody else. I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to take that fifth-year option, and I'm going to get the hopefully eventual replacement for Drew Brees in 8 years when he finally diminishes and retires.
Wow. I had you going. I thought you'd go with something like Trey White or a defensive player. Wow. Or even a tight end. Why not Evan Ingram?
You know, Ingram was definitely high on my list. Trey White. Sean Payton hates LSU players, and I've read different reasonings behind it. Many of them are, you know, you don't want to take a kid who grew up in New Orleans and make him play there because he's, you know, you want to take them away from any kind of negative home life they may have had. But yeah, Evan Ingram would be a great pick. I struggled, you know, my love for Curtis Samuel, so I struggled not taking him. And Jordan Willis was also really high since they went Hashaun Reddick in the first round or their first pick. But Mahomes, there's just too much value there. He's going to need work. Sean Payton has a history of working and developing quarterbacks and getting as much from him as possible. You know, Drew Brees wasn't a 5,000-yard passer before he went to New Orleans. So I think giving him, realistically, I think Brees maybe plays for 2-3 more years. Giving him those 2-3 more years under Brees, Mahomes could be something special.
Yeah, well, we'll see. He would be a quarterback of the guys that are left. You don't fancy Kaiser?
No, not at all. I think if Kaiser goes anywhere in the first two rounds, it'll be Arizona in the second. But no, I want nothing to do with him.
Yeah. Okay, that rounds off our first round. There are, I think, am I correct, guys? There are two teams who have not spoken about in terms of the first round, being the LA Rams and the New England Patriots. Am I missing anybody else?
That's all I have.
Yeah,
I think so. Just for the Rams, I'd put down that they should be looking for guys who are going to fit their new 3-4 defense, as opposed to the 4-3 they've been playing for. Well, certainly the last three or four seasons with Jeff Fisher. So, yeah, what are we looking at there? We're looking for maybe certainly an outside linebacker for them in the second round.
Well, where do they pick in the second round?
They'll be picking 37. You right, something like that.
37. Dan Feeney, I think, would be their offensive line is atrocious. That's somebody else I think that you can pencil in there for them.
Rob, any thoughts on the Rams?
My thoughts on the Rams are just that they need to get maybe some outside linebacker help if they're going to play this 3-4, just because of, you know, what's available. And, you know, the coach is their new head coach is an offensive guy. So I think that he will, take it on the chin a little bit in the first draft and not get, know, ton, because they got their quarterback, they got their running back. You know, they could probably use a receiver to be the number one guy. But if they don't go that route, I wouldn't be surprised if they went maybe a little bit more defense than people thought. I think that it's Wade Phillips' defense, so they need those 3-4 outside linebacker type guys.
Something to remember with them too is they don't have a third round pick either.
Actually, correct.
Yeah.
So that this second pick is really important to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really got to work for them.
I also wonder with the second
round pick at this point, right? Outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so they at still. Least, then they, I guess Robert Quinn. Quinn would be dropping back.
Ugh.
Yes, that would be my thinking. Yeah. Nice slow defensive end to play outside linebacker. I also, when he was at Washington, Sean McVay really centered the offense around Jordan Reed. And I wonder if they look at Evan Engram there in this, at the top of the second round.
Could be.
To give them that sort of player. He was really the focal point, Jordan Reed was, with McVay. But, and maybe a good target for the young quarterback, somebody underneath who can also, you know, do something after the catch. What about New England Patriots? What do you give the team who has everything?
Well, they pick what in the third round, late third round.
Yeah,
and it's New England, so give them a safety nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, and make give them a long snapper. They get needed. Well,
they'll make them great. They'll find a way somehow to turn that long snapper into a 6-sack guy.
I know. It's so terrible. That's true, though.
But seriously, though, they probably need some defensive line help. Didn't Alan Branch, did he leave them or retire?
No, he re-signed.
He's still there.
He's still signed. Oh, well. Yeah.
But that could be a nice spot for, like, Dalvin Tomlinson, who you mentioned earlier, Branch won't be around forever.
Oh, no. Yeah. In this draft, people are going to fall, and New England will be, like, the spot for them to take them all. It's going to be great for them.
I mean, you look at just players I'm thinking off the top of my head that fell out of the first round. You know, Evan Engram's a big name. Tre'Davious White's a big name. Dan Feeney, Obi Malafonu, who's catching a lot of buzz right now. King, who's catching a lot of buzz out of Washington, in the corner as well. Willis, Samuels, Alvin Kamara is still out there.
Yeah.
Just
note that's Kevin King you're talking about.
Tre'Davious White. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Trey White, Tre'Davious White. Yeah. There's a lot of talent out there.
A lot of talent still available.
How Patriots would it be if Sidney Jones fell down there and they took him in the red shirt?
Don't you talk those bad words.
Yeah. I would also just throw out to you guys, we've done our first round here, but in terms of defensive tackles that we spoke about in our top fives, there's no sign of Caleb Brantley, Malik McDowell, Chris Wormley, Montrevious Adams or Carlos Watkins. They're all still on the board.
No, when I did these picks today, I kept trying to find places to plug them in. Because it feels so weird to have your first quarterback fall to 25 and then to have really only one defensive tackle and Jonathan Allen taken.
Yeah.
So, but that's this draft. It's very heavy in some positions and it's very weak in others. And D-tackle is a pretty weak position. You know, we covered that last week.
Yep.
But in the second round, you're feeling good about Watkins. You're feeling good about all those guys you just listed.
Yeah. You've also got my man, Tano Passignon, as well. So there's 6 decent defensive tackles. You've still got the linebackers, Anzalone and Anderson. You got Zach Cunningham, Raekwon McMillan. Did we pick Jared Davis? Did we leave him out in the first round?
We left him out too. Yeah.
Yeah, he's there too. You've got Obi Melanfonwu, Eddie Jackson, Jabril Peppers, and then you've got Kevin King, Desmond King, you've got Tease Tabor. And did Trey White, he didn't make it either, did he?
So yeah, Trey White's still there.
A lot of defensive talent in that second round. That's incredible. Okay, so we've covered the 32 picks. We've covered the Rams and the New England Patriots. I think we're just about done there, guys, unless you have any, you've seen the 32 guys we've picked. Anything stand out for you? I guess I would probably say I thought maybe Dalvin Cook, we picked him too high. I think he might fall a bit further And maybe even my pick of John Ross may be a little bit too high at 9.
For me, yeah. I mean, when the draft comes, there's always guys that come up a little higher than you think and fall a little farther than you think. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But Dalvin Cook, obviously, you know, we talked about it last week. I like Mixon more than him. So I don't think he's necessarily like a top, you know, 20 guy per se.
A lot of talent. You know, the thing that I fear the most, I think, in this entire draft is, could you imagine, and Pittsburgh, I think it's a team that would take a chance on him. Could you imagine Joe Mixon to the Steelers?
Not in the first round.
That 1-2, well, not the first round, but he could fall to them in the second.
He could.
And that 1-2, because I went back, and I'm not going to pretend, I want to hate Joe Mixon. I want to be able to look at it. And it's like I'm looking for flaws in his game so I can be like, ha, we're wrong. And set him to the fifth round. But I watched it today, and I just kept thinking, he's a faster Le'Veon Bell. He's just as patient. He can run the routes. And the second he gets a gap, he's gone. It's disturbing. That is going to be a potentially a very, very dangerous combination. As far as players that I thought were too high, I mean, I feel like we each made a case for our players, and most of these picks made a lot of sense to me, which means they won't happen. If I had to make any changes, I would swap Trubisky and Watson, because I think Houston needs somebody who's a little more ready today than Trubisky. I really think needs a year, but I can't think of any of them that stuck out. And that just could be because the one that sticks out to everybody is my pick. So I'm not going to pick that one.
Which one's that?
The Dalvin Cook pick. I think he fits that offense so much better than Fournette. I would have taken him even if Fournette was still there. Okay. Question to you guys. This is a fun game that me and my draft Nick buddies play every year. For your respective teams, so the Redskins and the Bills, you have to pick one player that, if he falls to you, makes the draft. Like, you don't care who they take the rest of the draft, you're happy. And that one player that ruins the draft for you, you hate the pick, you think it's stupid, you don't want it. Who is that? We'll start with Neil.
Well, if it was the one player that would make me really happy if he fell to us, I'd probably be at 17. It would be Malik Hooker. I think safety position has been an absolute nightmare for Washington since the days of Sean Taylor. We just have not managed. It's bringing back these terrible flashbacks of who was that Rams safety we paid tons of cash for, and he hadn't even played a game for us.
Adam Archuleta, yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, hold on, guys. I need to sit down. I'm shaking. I think the safety position has been awful for us all those years. So yeah, if Hooker dropped, that'd be fantastic. In terms of who would ruin my draft, I think I would be extremely disappointed if we took a quarterback in round one. Any of the quarterbacks, that would probably ruin my draft. And Washington will ruin my draft weekend if they don't sign at least two defensive linemen in the first four picks. Does that count, Chris? Is that answering your question?
Absolutely. Neil, Rob, who are you thinking?
As far as who would kind of make the Bills draft, I would love to see them. Honestly, I'd love to see them hit the wide receiver position hard. I would love it. Like, I took Corey Davis because he was the fit, but I'd love to see him be there, you know, at 10 once we get towards the end of April. Who would hurt it? Like, someone who they took and be like, wow. Kenny Mixon. I don't think they would consider that at that pick, but if they did, I'd be sad. I think if they did something silly like took Sidney Jones or like a Buda Baker. Buda Baker fills the need for them, but I don't want to see that. Or any other quarterbacks. I don't want to see them draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't want to see Trubisky, although I think he's good. I don't want to see Trubisky go in the first round of the Buffalo. That would be bad, you know, for what, you know, for how they're trying to build. I'd rather take a Mahomes or a, you know, what's his name, Davis from Cal in the second round, honestly.
Very good.
What about you?
See, if I had to pick, I mean, Jabril Peppers are at 11, and I'm flipping my coffee table. I'm going for a long walk into a lake. I'm done. I feel like
Peppers would make everybody sad. At 11.
We are all, as sports fans, we're all allowed a level of hypocrisy.
Yep.
We're all allowed to kind of backtrack a little bit because that person's now wearing your team's jersey. I feel like I've been harsh enough on Jabril Peppers. I can't be afforded that. So that would be hard for me. Even the worst case scenario would be if he was great in New Orleans, because then I still couldn't root for him. I guess it would be that or Tack McKinley in the first round. I like him in the second, but that shoulder injury, that shoulder surgery kills me. I'm going to have a very raw player not being able to go through any kind of mini camp or training camp or preseason. I don't like that. Or the obvious, if the Saints give the 11th pick for Malcolm Butler, I'm pretty upset there as well. The player who makes the draft, you give me Curtis Samuel in the second round, I'm a happy guy.
You're a big fan of him.
Man, I, you know, the fans are tired of hearing about it, and I won't stop. Get used to that. I'm going to be on that bandwagon for a while until he proves me otherwise. And, you know, I think I would be, man, really, really excited. I think if we could get Mahomes in the end of the first round, I could really get behind that. I think that would be, as sad as it is, we do have to start eventually planning for Drew Brees not being here any longer. So he's an athletic kid. He's fun to watch. He has his issues. He tends to throw off his back foot a lot. But give him some years. You know, this, we always talk about how fortunate Green Bay is from having Favre to Rodgers, and this is how you do it. You take a first-round quarterback late and you groom him. So fingers crossed we could make that happen.
My problem with Mahomes is simply that he relies too much on his arms, on his arm strength. Throwing off his hands, throwing with terrible footwork and off his back foot and all the rest of it. Is that correctable?
I think it's correctable. His arm strength he relies a lot on, and he falls back on a lot of his throws. He doesn't step into them. He leans backwards. It's weird. And Aaron Rodgers was a complete teardown. If you watch his college tape and his footwork and his throwing motion, they completely redid that in Green Bay. So I it can be done, and that's here's hoping. He's so much fun to watch. He's kind of like Johnny Manziel if Johnny Manziel didn't discover cocaine. Like, it's, I don't know. I'm not actually saying that to be funny. I think it's true. he's got the talent. He just, you know, poor Johnny.
Yeah.
Hopefully no, he gets better.
Yeah. Okay, guys, that's been great. Obviously, we had promised you Matthew Phillips this week from 40 Yards Scouting. Matt had a family problem. So anybody with young kids knows how family problems arise rather rapidly. So he'll be with us, hopefully with us next week. I'm sorry you've had to suffer listening to us three bozos for the last hour and a bit, but next week will be better, I promise. Our mock draft will be going onto our next fan up website, so you can look at that and tweet us at next fan up. And where can they tweet you, Rob, to just talk about those picks you made?
Oh, sure. Buffalo_sauced.
And Chris?
I am at that patron saint. And look, I made some questionable picks. Come at me. Tell me I'm wrong about Cook. I can take it. I'm a big boy. I'll be more than happy to hear from you.
Yep.
Don't at me.
And I'm not, so please don't tweet me at NeilSalmon71. Tweet Chris and Rob. We will see you next week, and we'll leave you with Jeff Fisher, who, if he hasn't got a job in the NFL, he can come and do some voiceover for us. Come and hit us up on Twitter, Jeff. And we'll see you guys next week.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.